Good afternoon to you all. Greetings to you out on the cybercast. It's good to have you with us today. And as well as many people I see here that I've never seen before. It's been a couple weeks since we've been here. And in just a few weeks, half the congregation has changed. So welcome. Welcome to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We were up visiting family in Iowa for a couple weeks. And so we just got back. We got back just in time to load up our teenager onto a van. They left the house about 3 in the morning, Thursday morning. 8 teenagers were loaded up from our house, and they're off to Camp Pinecrest. So in case you're wondering if our numbers are down in the teen demographic, that's where they're at. They're enjoying the zone up there in Missouri. Well, the prophet Isaiah made an interesting prediction concerning the Messiah, and we can read about that in chapter 42. So let's turn over there. We're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 21. Here we're going to see that Isaiah gives an interesting insight concerning what the Messiah was going to do while he was here on this earth. And let's notice that. Perhaps many of you already have this verse memorized, but Isaiah 42 and verse 21, "The Eternal is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable." Now, that shouldn't be hard to imagine what the word magnify means here, right? I think it's safe to say that magnify means magnify. It means to increase our understanding, to bring out details that might otherwise go unnoticed, to give greater clarity. And yet, there seems to be so much confusion and disagreement in the world concerning what Jesus Christ did with the law when he came to this earth. He came as the great teacher, the greatest of teachers. And so Bible scholars and students will struggle with biblical texts, you know, mainly with the hardest of New Testament writers, the Apostle Paul. And remember what Peter said about Paul, right? Paul's writings are hard to understand. Be careful when you read Paul. You know, untaught and unstable people twist Paul's writing to their own destruction, and so on. And yet they'll go to this source exclusively to get a grasp on what Jesus Christ did with the law. And I'm thinking, you know what? Why not just go to Jesus Christ himself and see what he had to say about the law? You know, we already saw what Isaiah predicted the Messiah would do with the law. You know, he would magnify it and make it honorable, not destroy it or make it null and void. And Jesus Christ confirms that with a statement that we can read about in Matthew chapter 5. So if you haven't already turned there, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, where we'll get a firsthand commentary on what Jesus Christ had to say about the law. So Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. I often link Matthew 5 and verse 17 with Isaiah 42. They go well together. But verse 17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now that sounds like magnify and make honorable to me. And yet amazingly, some folks who read this stumble over that word fulfill, thinking it means precisely what Jesus Christ said he wouldn't do. And I suppose I can understand how someone might stumble over that word fulfill in the English language. You know, if I fulfill the terms of my contract, it means I've completed it. And by completing those terms, you know, the contract is terminated. A financial institution puts up the money to allow me to drive a new car off the lot of a dealership with the promise that I make 60 monthly payments for X amount of dollars. And upon that 60th payment, they send me the title to the car. The car is now mine, and our contract has come to an end. It has terminated. I have fulfilled the terms of the contract. Now, has Jesus Christ fulfilled the terms of the contract? Well, in a sense, yes, he did. You know, the law requires that the wages for sin is death. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, and he died for my sins. So in that sense, he met the terms of the contract for me. He indeed fulfilled an element of the law that I was unable to fulfill. And so what is it then that has come to an end for me? Well, Romans chapter 6 tells us clearly. It's the death penalty that no longer has dominion over me. That's the part of the contract that has come to an end. And I would recommend a full reading of Romans chapter 6 to see exactly what has come to an end and exactly what parts, what we are to continue to do after the fact. How we are to live. And of course, I don't have time to do that in the space of a sermonette. But I'll just leave off that with the question that is posed there in Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And you can answer that question. I know you know it well. But getting back to Matthew chapter 5, the context of what Jesus Christ is talking about concerning the law suggests that he's not even dealing with that aspect of fulfilling the law. Yes, he fulfilled the terms that require death, but that's not what he's talking about here. He says he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. And he goes on to demonstrate what he means when he says he'll fulfill the law. He means what Isaiah meant. He seeks to bring greater understanding and greater clarity. He seeks to magnify it and make it honorable. He clarifies the statement of what it means to fulfill by setting it up as a statement of contrast. You know, it's the opposite of, I didn't come to do this, but I came to do that. I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. Now, people will continue to debate and argue what fulfill means, regardless of how well it's demonstrated what it means. It means what they want it to mean. If the carnal mind is enmity against the law of God, then naturally the mind will reason that fulfill means terminate. Jesus Christ fulfilled the terms. That is the required obedience of the law. You know, he lived the law perfectly. Therefore, I don't have to be obedient to the law. And this, of course, is absurd. And it immediately becomes absurd when we continue to read what follows. Whoever breaks the least of these commandments will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But let's read a little bit deeper into this very same sermon given by Jesus Christ, you know, Matthew chapter 5, to see that what fulfill means in that context and that it means to magnify. And what does it mean to magnify? What does that mean? Well, let's let Jesus Christ answer that himself in verse 21, if you could drop down there. So Matthew 5 and verse 21, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And that is a perfect illustration of how Jesus Christ magnifies the law and makes it honorable. He fills up our understanding of the purpose and the intent of the law. And of course, we can drop down to verse 27, to get even more insight into Jesus Christ's magnification of the law. So, verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so, wow, you know, that's a pretty strict application of the law, right? Is that what you're telling me? That every reading of the law has to have some super strict application that seems to go way beyond the original wording of the law? The original wording says, do not commit murder. That seems easy enough, right? Oh, wait, no, I can't even hate someone without a cause. You know, I can't hate someone in our heart because that's the spirit behind murder. I can't just not take my neighbor's wife. I'm not even allowed to look at her with desire. You know, I can't even have the carnal thoughts. Ouch. That's tough. So is that how it is with all of God's law? Is that what magnify means? To give some super strict, seemingly impossible spiritual application of a simple law? Well, not necessarily. Remember, we're looking for intent and purpose. And sometimes it's the people that might have the super strict application or the super strict take on the law. But if that application departs from the understanding and the intent of what the law means, well, then it defeats the purpose, right? Let's notice in Mark chapter 2, we're going to get an insight here that Jesus Christ gives to a certain law. And it's an insight that is liberating compared to the strict application that the Pharisees gave. So let's notice that. Verse 23, Mark chapter 2. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him." And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." So Jesus Christ explains to us that the law of the Sabbath was given as a special blessing and a benefit to serve mankind. Mankind was not created to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created to serve mankind. Now that's my kind of law, right? You know, I don't know about you, but having a command from God to telling me to take the day off, you know, you need to take the day off, you need to rest, you need to worship me, and you need to meditate on the things that really matter in this life, rather than slaving away out in the hot sun. That's the kind of law that I can get behind, right? It just blows my mind that this is the one law that so many in the mainstream struggle with. You know, what's so bad about being commanded to keep the Sabbath day holy, to rest, to enjoy the benefits that the Sabbath was intended to give mankind? And so here is an example of where strictness is not taken for granted. You know, it's not automatic that the spiritual intent of the law be far more strict and impossible to keep than the physical letter of the law. What we're seeking is understanding, not ways to make it easy for easy's sake, not ways to make it hard for hard's sake. We just want to know what it means and how we can get the best result when we attempt to obey it. And what is the best result that I could get from seeing God's laws magnified for me? Well, let's find out from the greatest teacher what is the best possible result when he magnifies the law for us. And let's see that in Matthew chapter 22. So far, we got a good understanding of how Jesus Christ views law. He magnifies it and makes it honorable. In some cases, his magnification has us see that keeping the intent of the law is much more strict than the letter implies. In other cases, his magnification shows a more liberating approach to the law as compared to what the teachers of his day interpreted that the law to mean and how they applied it. In all cases, Jesus Christ seeks to bring out clarity and understanding. That's what magnify means. Of course it does. I put these things on my face so that the words that I'm reading out of this law become clear for me. Otherwise, when I pick this up and look at it without my magnifiers, I just see blur. You know, I can't read that at all. But then suddenly I put on my magnifiers and lo and behold, things are clear and they're easy to read and easy to understand. And naturally, once I understand what it says, then I can apply it to my life the way it was intended to be applied. But let's not just look at the law of God through simple reading glasses. Let's have Jesus Christ pull out the microscope and tune in, focus in at the most powerful setting. And we'll notice that in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 22. "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" That's what we want to know from the greatest of all teachers. "Which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Eternal your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." That's the law of God, magnified and made honorable.